This is Tiglath-Pileser IV
and Eric Berg,
and this is edition number 18 of Musings of the Living. This is a song called Madness. That was my song Madness, and here's a quick response to it by Kelsey Heinrichs.
To be back in the talking chair. I remember the good old days. We were gods back then. But now it's so institutionalized. You know, all the big business buying out Joel's songs. They're still good, though. I enjoy the songs. The last one was really good. It sort of like kept the same beat throughout the entire thing. Which is something you used to never really get during Joel's old songs. It'd be like a bit of this, a bit of that. Sort of a strange collection of wacky Joel. But this is sort of like a complete song. I really liked it.
For this edition of Musings of the Living, we interviewed two citizens from Arkansas. Here's an interview with Karen Black of Conway, Arkansas. What do you do for a living?
I'm a registered nurse.
How do you like that?
I love my job. I love being a nurse, and I love the company I work for.
What are some big highlights for in being a nurse?
Well, I think it's the fact that you can assist people and help people to find better alternatives or a healthy lifestyle.
Have you seen any good movies lately?
I'm a medieval reenactor, so I do Narnia, old classic middle ages type stuff.
Cool.
So what's one of your favorites of those kind?
Definitely it has to be Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, only because Sean Connery shows up in it.
Do you do any reading?
Yeah. Matter of fact, after I saw the movies Chronicles of Narnia, I'm playing catch-up and reading the entire series now.
Those
on the other side of that, I'm a murder mystery buff.
Oh, cool.
So what are some mysteries that you've really enjoyed?
I like the Patricia Cornwell books. Body of Evidence, That's the one that sticks in my head.
What do you think of the Chronicles of Narnia books?
They're very interesting. They're written for children, but they're pretty interesting. I was amazed at the extent of C.S. Lewis's work when I, you know, Googled it. He's written volumes of very academic stuff as well as stories.
Yeah.
Are there any experiences or cool stories you'd like to share about living in Arkansas?
We don't want to discuss Brother Bill, but we could.
What's Brother Bill?
Arkansas is a very diverse state. I always like to take people like First Ted out of here, which is almost near Little Rock. And if you go towards Memphis, Tennessee, you have the area that's mostly farms and fields. And if you head down south, it becomes very delta-type land. But if you travel to the northwest, you've got the most beautiful Ozark Mountains you'd have ever seen in your life. Nothing like Canada and Niagara Falls and the Toronto and areas like that, but it's the most beautiful mountains. And we have a little village here. It's called Eureka Springs, which is, they call the Switzerland of Arkansas. It's very beautiful.
Cool.
That's great.
Yeah, that is. Bye.
Bye-bye.
For our second interview, we interviewed Verna Black of Hot Springs, Arkansas. Are there any interesting stories or adventures you'd like to share with us?
Followed the hoofs of car quite a bit. Aimlessly, not going anywhere in particular, just taking off.
Where are some interesting places that you've gone when you've just driven?
Aimlessly? Well, I've gone to Atlanta, Houston, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Las Vegas, Nevada, Tunica, Mississippi, Riverside, California, up to the Niagara Falls, and I went to Vermont, but my battery died on my car, and the state policeman wouldn't jump it for me, so I turned around and came back. I didn't want to associate with that type of people.
What has been the best place to go that you found?
The best place?
Yep.
Well, I like it here in Arkansas.
What's your favorite kind of music?
I have a collection of records. About 2,000 records of all different kinds.
Well, just what are some of your
records in your record collection
that you really like especially?
I like Billy Vaughn, Ray Anthony, Montavani, Ray Charles. I have some of the Beatles. Just a little bit of everything.
That's pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
When did you start collecting your records?
When I started working for a radio station, 1960.
So what did you do there?
They call me the traffic director. That means you're the slave. You're the front, working the front office. And when anyone comes in and wants any information, you direct them.
How did you enjoy that, working with the radio?
Fine.
Great.
I liked it for a while, then I put in my own flower business.
What was that?
Flower designer, florist. The work is fine. It's the bookkeeping and all of the tax records and all that junk. I didn't like that. I love the designing.
Yeah. Well, we really enjoyed interviewing you.
Well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Right.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Live song this time, Eric and I are playing blues together. That was Eric and I playing blues on the A minor pentatonic scale. For this edition of Musings of the Living, we have Kelsey Heinrichs reading a comic.
Calvin and Hobbes by Bill Watterson. Read by Kelsey Heinrichs.
Whoosh! You're in trouble now, Hobbes. While you just have one water balloon, I have three. I'm a walking arsenal of hydro weaponry. Uh-huh. I see the fear in your eyes. You realize that I can get you three times wetter than you can get me. Though your balloon and your utter sogginess is assured, I, on the other hand, can act with impunity. With three balloons, I fear nothing.
Dutch.
Hey, no, my arms are full. Oh, no.
Spoosh, quish, splash, whoosh.
We superpowers have it tough.
Maybe you should suck up on brains instead.
The end.
Thank you.
this is the year-round anniversary of Musings of the Living. When I started, I was hunched up at 1 o'clock in the morning, at the top of my friend's basement stairs, recording a 10-minute podcast, with no idea of where it would go. I especially didn't expect to end up in a basement studio, producing 40-minute podcasts. The greatest thing, though, is that the idea and heart of it has remained throughout. We phoned some requesters of the Musical Spotlight to see what they thought of the podcast thus far. So what's your name?
My name is Bev.
How long have you been listening to the podcast for?
Oh my god, I think it goes back to last year. Last year I started.
Oh yeah. Is there any episode in particular that sticks out?
You know, I really liked the last, I think it was a couple podcasts back when you were interviewing some guy from some music place or whatever.
West End Cultural Center?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Walker.
Yeah, exactly. I really like that one.
Okay, so Disguised Revelations.
Yeah.
I believe that's
cool. Yes, that's okay. Great.
What's your favorite part of the podcast?
Actually, one of my favorite parts, like there's so much, right? Because like, I love it all. One of my favorite parts is when you do the biography of the music group and you put in background music. I feel like that's a really good feature. And I also really like the opening song. Like the opening song. And I love the idea of interviewing people.
What's a section in the podcast that you would suggest?
Like a new section.
Yeah.
Oh, like, okay. Like just a section or something different?
Like an idea for a section. Like, you know, we have the interview section. Like what would be something that you would suggest?
Quirky. Like something really quirky, like a quirky fact, quirky trivia fact that, about something. Like, and I wouldn't even know what it would be, like something that you've found out, like, did you know kind of thing.
Okay.
That sort of thing. And that's just off the top of my head. Like, I wouldn't have to think about that.
Oh, yeah. Is there any, like, criticism or advice you have for the sections that are already in place?
Like, what do I think you could do without?
Or do better in sections that you already, that you do.
Well, sometimes I think what happens is when you guys talk about the group, the music group, you'll talk about it just bantering between you guys. And then all of a sudden and it's not a big deal, but it seems like then all of a sudden you have to ask the formal question, why do you like or how did you get into it? And it feels like you guys have kind of already talked about it just naturally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I think I would stick to the natural, just back and forth, this is really cool, and then you don't have to do the formalized asking, what do you
know,
this group,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the podcast and being a part of the interview.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a highlight of my week, actually.
Here's our second interview.
Okay, so what's your name, first of all?
Linda.
Okay. And how long have you been listening to the podcast for?
I've been listening for about a year, and I'm not a consecutive listener. I kind of pick and choose, but I have listened to several of your podcasts.
Is there anyone that sticks out in your mind?
Well, the last one I listened to was interesting. Actually, last one was, I think, was two podcasts ago. One on Supertramp. And,
oh, yeah.
That one sticks out in my mind because of the musical compositions, and I've noticed how they've changed from the first podcast that I listened to till that one. They seem to be getting more interesting and more musical.
Great.
Cool. What's your favorite part of the podcast?
Oh, man. it's all so good, you know. I think I like when you guys talk about the musicians and what you hear in the music the most, because it's really interesting to hear what you think about it, and you know, because you're from a different generation, and I really like how you're really into the music and you have a lot of passion for it, and you know, you'll download all these songs and listen to them, and then give your interpretation, and I just find that interesting. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Great. Is there a section that you would suggest, or like an idea for a section?
Well, I did say one time that it would be interesting to have a phone-in part, like where you talk to your listeners. So something like this. This is kind of fun, you know, listen to what other people are saying. And you've been doing some experimenting with phoning, like phoning strangers. So it would be interesting to hear like snippets of that, like talks with strangers from like other cities kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Great. Okay.
Is there any criticism or advice you'd have for us?
Criticism. Like as in how you could make it better, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, just off the top of my head, I would say keep doing what you're doing, which is looking for how interacting with other people and other points of view, and you both seem to really like music. I really liked actually that interview you did with that guy from the West End Cultural Center, and just to keep doing stuff like that, networking and hooking up with people. I think that would broaden you as well as I think would give other people a different point of view too. So
mm-hmm. Great.
Keep on keeping on.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the podcast and being a part of the interview.
Oh, you're welcome. And keep them coming.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, see ya. Bye.
That was Bev Patterson of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, who requested Coldplay on Classical Modernism, and Linda Thiessen-Weeb of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, who requested Supertramp on Disguised Revelations. Thanks to them for being part of these interviews, and in future podcasts, we'll try out their suggestions.
This is a story I wrote called The Game. The Game. It was the beginning of summer when Harris found the toy. It was a simple toy, like one of those ping pong games. Harris, being the kind of boy to turn things in, decided to hand it in to the police after he had finished playing with his friends. He brought the toy to show the other kids. It was small, and had a screen in the middle of an oblong piece of red plastic. On either end were green controls to play the game. For some reason, unknown to the young boy, he loved the shape, the color, the tiny screen, the buttons with LF and RF on either side, and even the way that it felt in his hands. Everything about it was perfect. He hadn't played it yet, but he had been compelled to, more than he had been with any of his other finds. But Harris knew he shouldn't use it, so he mustered up his willpower to stop himself from flicking it on, watching the screen light up, and pressing the buttons. When he showed his friends, they encouraged him to turn it on, and he began to give in as he started to rub the on button. Just as he began to apply pressure, one of the kids spoke. "Can I see?" It was followed by a chorus of echoes. "No!" Harris shouted. All his friends stared at him. Harris recoiled, his eyes wide. He had never shouted at his friends. In fact, he was the peacemaker. He shuddered, then looked each one over. He turned and ran away. He headed away into the distance, away from the small town. All of a sudden, a feeling washed over him, like he had been purified. He looked about himself, confused as to where he was. He looked back to the town and laughed to himself and dismissed the oddity as a disorientation and headed for the police station. "And what is it that you've found, son?" A large policeman leaned down and looked at Harris. Harris knew the policeman, Charlie, from all the other times he had turned things in. Charlie was talkative, beefy, and was always smiling his crooked, toothy grin. But as Harris looked at the man lean over, all he could see was a greedy glint in his eye and an evil smile plastered all over his face. All Harris could hear from the tongue behind the malicious smile was, "Give it to me! Now!" It was the same thing he had heard and seen from his friend. "Stay away from me!" Harris yelled at Charlie, who was taken aback. Charlie looked at the vexed boy, perplexed. Harris ran away as fast as he could. The police station became smaller and smaller behind him. He ran into the fields and sat down, glancing suspiciously around. Suddenly the fire that burned in his eyes was put out, and he looked about himself, confused. Tears poured down his cheeks. He looked at the game. "You're my only friend," he purred to the game. It was then that all his will crumbled down, and the last fortifications were smashed. He flicked the game on. It was the end of summer when Harris was found dead. The game was clutched tightly in his hands. His eyes were wide, his mouth was shut, and the game was on. Harris had not eaten, nor had he slept for 1.5 months. The whole town was at the funeral, for Harris was very well liked by everybody. The game was finally pried out of his hands, but no one claimed it, so the mayor sold it to a pawn shop for a good price. It was the beginning of autumn when James found the toy. It was a simple toy, like one of those ping pong games. So when I first wrote that story, around that time I was listening to a lot of Ray Bradbury short stories, and when I listened to something he had said, he said that a lot of the time he just picked a word and then went from there. And so I picked the word game once because I was trying to do something in the way he had been doing it. So I picked the word game, and this is what came of it. This is a song by me called Shadow and Soul. Crucifix on the wall, graffiti in the stall. Man in his dreams of the world, it seems. A man with his shadow and his soul. The people are hungry. They want something new. The people are thirsty. They want to know who. The people are all tired, but they want to stay awake to see the new year go. But they want to stay awake to see the new year go. Crucifix on the wall, graffiti in the stall. A man in his dreams of the world, it seems. Man with his shadow and soul. They're running for the hills to the man with the mask and $5 bills. They're all following where the hunger leads. They're all dreaming about the books they read. Looking at the trees and blue sky, that was the only revolution that they could make fly. That was the only revolution that they could make fly. Crucifix on the wall, graffiti in the stall. Man in his dreams of
the world, it seems. Man with his shadow and soul. A man with his shadow and soul. A man with his shadow and soul.
That was my song Shadow and Soul, and as usual, I wrote the lyrics and sung them and played the acoustic guitar, and Joel did the recording stuff. This is a book review on a book I recently read called On the Road. On the Road by Jack Kerouac. I first picked up this classic beatnik novel in 2005 spring, but I couldn't get through it, and I put it back down. I tried again that summer, and again I had to put it down. The third time I tried, it was around September 2005, with a drive to finish it. I ran out of steam again, though. But I finally picked it up in 2006 June. This time I got through it with a discovery of how good it was, as well as a few ideas of why it took me so many tries and so long even when I did get through it. The first reason I think it was difficult to get through was the fact that it felt very much like a non-fiction. Although it is recognized as a novel, it is based on true experiences of Kerouac with Neil Cassidy. In being based on true events, it feels extremely real, and it really connected with me because of this, but it also made it more difficult to read. The second reason I think it was difficult to read was because I was so young when I first read it. I couldn't relate at all with anything, and despite how clear it was, I was very confused and lost. And even though I wasn't very much older on my fourth and final attempt, unless I reread it, which is likely, I felt the same excitement and thrill with life the time I got through it. I'm not saying this book is mature in violence, sex, or drugs. The truth is all these things are included, but the author never goes into detail about the experiences he and his companions had. This all said, I also have things to say about how good it is, and why it's so. In fact, I must say that for the same reasons it is difficult, it is a good read. It feels extremely real, and although sometimes I had to plod through times of reading it, it really caught fire sometimes and I couldn't stop reading it. I felt that it reflected a great real-life image, as well as I was so inspired by the love for life and humanity and philosophy by it, that I just wanted to listen in on some of the real discussions they had, rather than read summaries. My final reasoning is that the book is great for people that have a great drive to get through it, but it may be hard at times. It's an extremely worthwhile read, especially if you're interested in seeing an incredible look at somebody's real life.
For the musical spotlight for this edition, we're doing the band U2, as requested by Lorna Dirksen of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Here's a song by them.
Your head can't rule your heart. I'm feeling so much stronger.
was the song Vertigo by U2, and here's a short biography on them.
U2 originally was a high school band, and how this originated was Larry Mullen Jr. put up a notice in his high school asking for people to start a band with. And four guys responded. Paul David Hewson, who was Bono, The Edge, who was David Howell Evans, Adam Clayton, and Dick Evans. And they originally were a Beatles and Rolling Stones cover band that was called Feedback, and then they changed their name to Hype because they didn't like Feedback. And then Dick Evans left, and they formed the band U2. Their first actual recognition was at a talent show, and this manager saw them and said he would manage them. And then they just started releasing albums and singles, and they slowly started crawling up. And then they released The Joshua Tree in 87, and that just blew people away. And that, like, they were got tons of respect from the critics, and they were just responded to well on from everybody. And then they released a follow-up album and movie called Rattle and Hum, which included tour footage and live songs and new songs. But that wasn't responded to well by critics or by people. So after that, they went into an extended hiatus where they were working on their sound and making it better. And while everyone else was doing punk, they ended up coming out with a whole new sound that just made them get them more respect because it was dance music. They were doing something new. They incorporated electronic music into solid rock that they had before, and just that whole switch got them even more respect with their release album of Achtung Baby. And then after that, they promised a more solid rock album because their listeners, their steady fan base was a little disappointed with the new electronic style, so they promised to release a rock. And then they said a few months, and then it was extended, and then some of the songs leaked out, and people were like, wait, this is still dance. And then finally it was released, and it was called Pop. But still, Bono was unsatisfied with it because he felt like he was rushed to make it, and he even said that was the biggest mistake of his career. After that, they released All That You Can't Leave Behind, and then How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb just recently, which you heard the song from. And so they've been consistently releasing albums that have had consistently good critical reviews and responses from just listeners. And they've also been recognized as an incredible live band because they released an EP of Live that was the biggest live album in Europe. And so they've set other records like The Joshua Tree went platinum in 28 hours, and they've become an incredibly recognized band, and they are acknowledged as one of the greatest rock bands around right now, and one of the most popular bands around. And recently Bono has announced a few things like being interested in going into hip-hop because he just toured with Kanye West, another Christian musician. And also Bono has been recognized as the Man of the Year in the Time magazine because of his extensive help in the third world countries. And it's very interesting because he talks about things like he likes that people just don't recognize him there and don't recognize him as a rock musician or something like that. He's just somebody helping. And he's considered an American because that's what all white people are considered, and stuff like that. So he talks about his interesting experiences there and how he teaches them stuff and they'll teach him, and they're both helping each other.
So Eric, what do you think about the band U2?
I thought the band U2 was really interesting to listen to because they were like a rock band. But they're also like, it felt like they kind of like pushed the normal boundaries of rock, like they were more experimental, you know? What would you think of U2?
I really liked them. It was very catchy, eh?
Yeah, like they had like really, really interesting and unique melodies, but they also caught your attention and like kept you going. But their lyrics as well were also...
Yeah, their lyrics are very good.
Yeah.
I especially like the song Yahweh.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good song.
Yeah.
And actually, in an interview with Bono, Bono said that, in an interview with Bono, Bono said that he said, every time you gotta be trying something new, no matter what, it doesn't matter what people will think when they hear it, but you gotta just be pushing your own boundaries every time.
Yeah.
Which I totally agree with, like, and you can definitely hear it in their music, because they were normal, they started off as a Beatles cover band.
Beatles, yeah.
And they went to, like, punk rock, and then they went into electronic, and even now...
And they're
now,
planning to go into hip-hop.
Exactly, like, they were having a concert with Kanye West, and he said that he was considering bringing some elements of hip-hop into his next music. But, so, had you had any encounters with U2 before?
Well, like, I had heard of them, I had some of their music, but I didn't really listen to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. Like, I've heard some of their songs, like,
Late
you know.
Wednesday night and stuff.
Yeah, I've heard some of their songs and stuff, but yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you? Have you had any encounters?
Yeah, definitely, because actually the person who requested this is my stepmom, and she really likes U2, so we listen to it a fair bit in my house. So yeah, but yeah, like just listening to U2.
Is your stepmom an evil stepmother?
No, she's not.
Okay, go on.
Okay, well, what's really interesting about the band U2 is that they're consistently popular, and they come out with albums that the critics rave about or whatever, but they also make really meaningful albums, and they also like push the boundaries and are unique.
Like, what do you mean meaningful?
Well, like the song Yahweh and stuff. Like, their lyrics are like they focus on politics and religion, and he's focusing on the third world countries a fair bit.
He's hardcore
these days.
Into that, hey?
Yeah, and that's really good.
Is that good?
Yes.
Really?
You prefer to leave the third world countries alone?
No. Okay, go on.
And like actually in one of his interviews they said, well, why don't you just go for prime minister already? And he said, or
is
president,
he Canadian?
President. No, he's Irish. And he said to them, he said, well, I have way more influence as a rock star, which is totally true.
Well,
like,
could
people,
be a rock star and a prime minister. Like,
I know, but people will listen to him way more when he's making music than when he's in politics.
Yeah, I guess. But you could still be a rock star and be the president. I don't see why not. Just do like your presidential addresses at concerts and stuff.
It's like Arnold
Schwarzenegger,
the actor and governor. But yeah. No, but then he would be caught up with doing all that all the time and he couldn't produce music as much. Besides, I'm sure he likes music a lot. Like, likes making music. That's his main calling. Well, he's really good at it anyway. But what I thought was really interesting was that they're so, you know, popular, but they are, all of them except for the drummer, are practicing Christians. And that you don't get that all the time, especially a band of this caliber and this popularity.
Yeah. They're pretty big, hey?
They're one of the most popular bands. What did you find interesting about U2, listening to them? What were some things that you liked about them?
Well, I really liked how their music has a certain twang to it. It sounds different than a lot of other music. It like like they, it seems like they, their music, all of it covers a spectrum, and on one end there's like their older stuff, and another end there's their newer stuff, like How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. But it seems to have this, like, it's sharp. It sounds,
yeah.
The music sounds sharp, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds sharp, and like you can see how they've refined that over a long period of time. But yeah, I really like how it sounds sharp. And you were saying before that their music is a mix between rock and dance music, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what they, in the 90s, they turned into electronic dance music.
Yeah.
Brought that elements of that into their music.
But yeah, I think that's, I really like their sound, and I'm glad that we discovered U2 through Lorna Dirksen's request.
Yep.
So if you have a chance to listen to the band U2, do we suggest that you do?
And I say you definitely should listen to them. Like, it's not one of those bands where it's like, if you don't, it's okay. I think
you if you don't listen to them, it's not okay.
Exactly. U2 is definitely
a good band to listen to. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And this was another request, and as you can see, we're being introduced to new music all the time. We would like some requests outside of Manitoba, Winnipeg, Canada.
Yeah. So if you have any music that you're listening to that you'd like to see what we think of it, or just spread the word of the band, email us.
But even so, if you are in Winnipeg, tell us anyway. Get us to listen to new music. That'd be great.
We'd like it if you're in the third world countries, though, and you emailed us. That'd be good.
We'd like it if you're anywhere. We're not preferring anybody to over to anybody. That was Musings of the Living, Edition 18. We hope you enjoyed it.
And if you have any requests, suggestions, or comments, email us at musingsoftheliving@gmail.com. No spaces, no dashes, no underscores, no nothing. And here's an outro song.